Pete and Bob. Well, Pete and Bob are known as, well, almost like they were twins, but actually they weren't. Pete and Bob had lived together in, I mean, houses or close together. Their fathers worked in the mines down in Kentucky, and naturally the families got together, and so naturally Pete and Bob used to play together because they were about the same age. And this was quite a thing. If you invited Bob to something, why, he automatically included Pete, because it was the one would not want to go without the other. And because that their fathers were miners, Pete and Bob were quite interested in mining. Out in Kentucky, there's a lot of places where the coal is all dug out. There's nothing left. Sometimes there's huge caves that have been dug into in searching for coal. And maybe there was some coal, maybe there wasn't, but these caves would still exist. And up the side of the mountain, every so often, there'd be, well, sort of a mine started, and maybe a little bit of coal was taken out, then the miner went on to the next one. And these were interesting because the boys knew about them. Pete and Bob used to go up there in the mountains, not really at the real high mountains, but they were sort of medium heights. And they would go and play in these caves, and they would pretend that they were miners sometimes. They would bring along a little shovel and a little pick, and they would pretend that they were mining. And sometimes there was some coal there. And they would bring home some coal. Their mother would say, "Now, boys, what did you bring that home for? We know we got plenty of coal." But after a while, she quit doing that because, well, it was, they didn't feel so good because they didn't think they accomplished anything. So every time they would go out, they would bring home some coal, and mother would say, "Now, isn't that fine? We can use some of that coal." And they felt proud of themselves. Well, one day Pete said, "You know, we've seen all these mountains here, and I think it would be nice if we take a real long trip. Something that might take maybe all day and then come back the next day. It was sort of a camping trip and a mining trip at the same time. We could take George and Val with us." And of course George and Val, when they heard about it, were real happy because they hadn't been able to, since the spring weather had just gotten nice, they hadn't been out really like the other boys hadn't been able, and so they wanted to be included in this. Of course, they had to use their bicycles because it was going to be a long trip. So Pete asks his mother, and all of them asked their mother if they could go on this trip. And after she'd found out what they were going to do and where they were going, why, she thought, well, maybe it was all right as long as they behaved themselves and, you know, what mothers usually say. Boys were able to take care of themselves because they went on these trips and they always come back pretty safe. So, next day, bright and early, the sun was just starting to come over the horizon, just starting to get light. And there was still a little bit of dew on the ground and it was a little bit damp. But the boys tiptoed downstairs. And on the table, there was the breakfast there, and it says, "Boys, have some breakfast before you leave." They thought they were going to sneak off real early, but Mother, she was a little bit ahead of them. She'd gotten that breakfast there, right on the table there, because she wasn't awake. Well, they thought, well, why not? So they dug into the Wheaties and the milk and real quietly chomped it down. They were glad because when they started getting on their bikes and they saw how cool it was and how hungry they might be, they were glad they had that breakfast. While they had all their gear on the bike. There are various utensils, a frying pan, eggs, and bacon, potatoes. Hey, did you bring your matches? Wait, yeah. Oh, yeah, I got them. Matches. We can't go without matches. I remember the time we went out and got the fire all set up and no matches. Well, I wanted Boy Scouts, and they didn't have one of those bows that goes back and forth and gets real hot by friction. So, no, they didn't get anything to eat that day. It was cooked. They had to eat their potatoes raw. And they couldn't cook their eggs. They had to throw the eggs away because they'd already broken the eggs into the pan. And they couldn't eat it. So they didn't want to do that again. So Pete says, yes, I got them. Bob and Pete and George and Val, they got onto their bicycles. And down the street they went early morning. Every so often they're frying pan. So continued Pete and Bob on their trip to the high mountains, their one-day trip they were going to make. They started out, and it started to get upward grinds. The hill was starting to go upward and upward. And you know, they were really pushing down on those pedals. In fact, standing up most of the time, then the road would straighten out and they would go wrong for a long time, and then up and up they would go. Boy, this is going to be hard for us, don't you think there, Pete? Yeah, but just think. We're going to be going downhill all the way, huh? Yeah. Boy, this is going to be awful good coming back. Look at upward and upward with their pedaling so hard on their bicycles. It wasn't very long before they started getting pretty high up. And they got up pretty high there and they stopped their bicycles and started to look out. And there they could see where they lived before, where they were came from. They could see the lights and where their house was. And they would try to find their house in the distance, and it was still a little bit misty. They looked back and saw where they lived and looked ahead to where they were going. Finally, Pete says, well, let's get going, fellas. We're going to get up where we're going. So back on the bikes they went, still standing up on their pedals most of the way. Every so often the road would straighten out, but mostly it was upward. Just a gradual upward swing. Sometimes it got steep and they'd have to get off the bikes and push. And most guys by now are pretty sweated. And their sweat was running down their eyes and their hair was sticking to their head. Oh, boy, this is tough. Boy, I didn't think it was going to be so high. You think maybe the air is getting a little bit thin up here, Pete? Nah, not so quick. We're only up maybe, I'd say maybe 1,000 feet maybe. Boy, that's a long ways up. We got to keep going, though. Let's keep pedaling. It was slow going. Upward and upward they were going. Gradually, they could see that they were reaching pretty close to the certain mountain that they wanted to climb. They got on this ridge and started to pedal across. Way across and then into the other mountain ridge. They looked back, they could just barely see where they had come from. They were up pretty high now, and it was, maybe a little bit after noon hour now. And the boys, they decided that maybe this was enough for the day. So they, along the road there, like I say, there was these little caves, and they picked out a pretty big one, nice big cave. Pulled their bikes around inside. Their voices echoed a little bit when they went inside. There was some water dripping down. But it was dry inside. And Pete says, well, we better get some firewood. So the boys put their bikes to one side and scrambled along the side of the mountain, picked up twigs. And one of them had a little hand axe, and he'd chop some bigger twigs he'd found in some broken branches. And pretty soon they had a pretty nice big pile of wood. Started a fire, and it's starting to blaze up good, and the boys got out their frying pans and put the eggs in there, and it was pretty soon they were chuckling away. Boy, that, was that good. Then they had the potatoes. They put the potatoes into the hot sand and waited for a while. Pete said, you know, you have to leave it in the ashes there for, maybe an hour or so before we can use them. Boy, I'm so hungry, I'll eat them raw. Well, let's just wait a while. We'll eat the eggs. And anybody want bread? Yeah, I'll take some bread. And they were dipping their bread into the bacon juice and eating the eggs, and boy, did it taste good. Of course, the fellows forgot to bring the salt, but that's beside the point. Well, it was probably around about 3:30 by the time they got their potatoes out of the ashes, and they pulled them out of the ashes of the fire, and they were, boy, were they nice. You know, there was burn on the outside about a quarter of an inch in. When they broke it open, there was that luscious potato inside. And you know, that tasted so good. Some of the guys even ate some of the burned potato shell. And it was good. Around about 4 o'clock or so, while it was in the fall, and early spring, the sun usually would start to getting a little bit low. And the fellows started to look out. They could see the little town below with the lights starting to come on a little at a time as the shadow of the sun was hidden by the mountainside. And they could see the shadow of the sun as it started to cover the little town below. And their fire was nice and warm, and it started to get dark. If they had been up on the other side of the mountain, they would have had, well, sunlight quite a while. And there was Pete, Bob, Val, George. Well, they were starting looking out, and they were looking at the pretty sight that the sun was making, the golden edges of rays as it filtered through and down, smiling. And, you know, they heard a rumble. And you know, a boy who lives in the mountains, he knows what that means. That means a landslide, where the rocks started to come down, and then one rock hits another rock, and two or three more rocks hit each other, and pretty soon they start sliding down the mountain. And it gathers speed. More and more rocks gather, and they start to come down in a real rush. Well, anyone who has ever been in the mountains knows that this is the first signs of a rock slide. It happens just usually when the sun starts to cool off and the rocks start to move because they're cooling off. The rocks start to come down, and they could hear it tumbling. Pretty soon, it started out really coming down, and pretty soon the boys just ducked into the cave and felt so snug, and all of a sudden they looked around and says, "Hey, Bob! And then next thing you know, there was a crash, and Bob had gotten hit by some of those rocks that come down. Why didn't he come out of it? Why didn't somebody grab him? Well, Bob was in the hospital there after the boys had somehow gotten help. It was a long, terrible journey down. They didn't know what was going to happen to Bob. He was pretty badly crushed. Well, they took him into the hospital and called the police. And they hung around the hospital room. Bob's father and Pete's father and George and all of them, they're all standing with their faces real strained. They'd come in their car to put their bikes back on the car. They put Bob's bike on there. Pretty well. They looked very serious and didn't know what to think. Well, the next day, and the next day went, and finally Pete's father said, well, what do you say we go up and see? So he got all his other friends, George and Val, and they jumped in the car. They went back to the place where Bob was in the hospital. And they come up to the nurse, and he had identified himself, asked if he wanted to see Bob Peters. And she says, all right, what's a minute? I think he's able to see somebody. Been pretty badly bruised, all. It's all on bandages. And she come back, she says, I don't know how to tell you this, fellas, but Bob says he doesn't want to see you guys. You fellows have a fight or something? The boys looked at each other and they hung their head and then said, well, I guess we understand. And they went back down, got in the car, and Pete's father said, well, how'd it go? Oh, we don't know. Oh, what was wrong? Well, Bob don't want to see us. Well, why not? Well, I guess we forgot that Bob was deaf. And we didn't pull him. Dad, we didn't mean it. We just forgot. We forgot completely that Bob was deaf. And I guess Bob doesn't want that kind of friends around him. Yes, Bob didn't want them kind of friends around him. True, he was deaf, but his fellows, they had forgotten. They had forgotten to tell him and warn him in time about that rock slide. And Bob wasn't going to have that kind of a friend around him.